Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is the fiscal year 2010 appropriation for the colleges and universities in the amount of $408,210,000. Of that amount, $15,313,800 is from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act State Fiscal Stabilization Fund. This budget reflects a 7 6/10% general fund base reduction and an additional 5% reduction in personnel costs. Included in the budget, you will find three line items. Item one removes 1,300 FTPs and $20,100 in general funds for occupancy costs for facility space that has either been demolished or is no longer eligible. Item number seven provides $1,591,100 for 12 faculty and staff positions for the Collaborative Center for Advanced Energy Studies, otherwise known as CASE, in Idaho Falls. The funding source for the CASE line item is the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act State Fiscal Stabilization Funds. This was originally funded with one-time general funds in fiscal year 2009. Item 14 provides $10 million in general funds for the Idaho Center for Livestock and Environmental Studies at the University of Idaho. Funding for this project was originally appropriated to the Permanent Building Fund in fiscal year 2008. Section 5 of this bill transfers that $10 million from the Permanent Building Fund to the General Fund and provides for a two-year appropriation. So I would like to emphasize there that that is not a new money, it's just a transfer so that the University of Idaho has better access to the funds. Section 2 is standard language, which takes funding off the top of this appropriation for system-wide programs. Paragraph D is new this year. It provides up to $144,000 to address issues related to course transfers across Idaho's public higher education institutions. Paragraph E is also new. It provides up to $47,000 for the development of a comprehensive plan for expansion of undergraduate and graduate medical education opportunities. So this is the essence of the budget. I'd be glad to try to answer questions if you have any, and I ask for your green light.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 18.
Mr. Speaker, to debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to try to make 3 points in a short period of time. But, you know, I know that, as I've said before, I've debated a couple of these appropriations bills, and I know that doesn't do much good, but I think it's important that people have a voice in the process. So as a recent college graduate, I know the cost of college all too well. I was always forewarned going through junior high and high school, which wasn't just for some of you more than just a couple years ago, but it was not too long ago. I was forewarned that the cost of getting an education after high school was going to continue to increase. And I remember being reminded by my parents that if I didn't do well in school, that I wasn't going to be able to go to college without taking out a lot of loans. And being as stubborn as I am, I didn't listen to them and didn't work very hard. Was fortunate to get Pell grants and a scholarship for debate. But still had to take on quite a bit of financial aid loans and to complete my education. And it was true that the cost of going to college increased, and it continues to do so. And the problem is that the burden of that cost continues to be laid upon students and families. This budget only helps perpetuate that. I'm sure we've all seen recently a paper in our respective communities, the cost of attending our public universities in the state of Idaho is going to increase for students next fall. And it concerns me about the lack of concern that this body has for that. And the reason is because of a couple other issues that I'd like to talk about. The first is that the demand is increasing for these services. It seems backwards to me that we, at a time when demands increase, that funds decrease. People are being laid off from their jobs in my own community. Micron has a pretty substantial workforce, as we all know, that's been laid off. And those folks that have had jobs there in the fab, they need to go get other skills. They need to go do other things. But the only way they do that is by going and getting retrained. And when we reduce the funds that are available to those universities, capacity decreases at a time when demand for capacity is at an all-time high, but also quality of instruction decreases. And that has a long-term impact on the perceived benefit or perceived value of an education, a degree that they would get from a public institution in Idaho. And finally, it's about the economy. We talk a lot in this body about tax policy and about how we want to utilize tax policy to encourage corporate investment and expansion. But the fact of the matter is, and according to a Federal Reserve report from just a couple years ago, tax policy isn't the deciding factor on why businesses expand or why they choose to relocate. The number one deciding factor is an access to a highly skilled workforce. The way that we get a highly skilled workforce in the state of Idaho by virtue of our small population size is to recruit people in, to go to our public education systems, but also to really maximize on the people that we already have. They go to our public institutions to be able to get educated. We'd like to help them do that in such a way that they don't put themselves into such a financial burden afterwards that they can continue to support their families, buy homes, and be productive members of our society. I fear that the long-term implication of this bill is going to be much worse than just the short-term benefit that we get, and I hope that you can join me in opposing it. Thanks.
Is there further debate? Hearing none, would the good lady from 6 care to close?
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate many of the things that the gentleman from 18 has said, and in a way I'd like to be making that debate myself. I think all of us are disturbed when we see the length of lines with people who are attending job fairs. And this weekend I saw a rather long line in front of a food bank in my neighborhood here in Boise. And none of us want to make decisions that in the long term are not going to be as beneficial as possible. And unfortunately, I think none of us have the crystal ball to say what the best decisions would be. As I look at our budget and the resources that we're leaving in some of our rainy day funds and other accounts, it appears to me that with the decisions that we're making so far in fiscal year 2010, we'll have something like 11% of our budget set aside in one rainy day fund or another. And I'd have to say that looking forward, I'm concerned about the future with respect to some of those budgets. For example, in corrections, where we set some very tight budgets. I think we did that with the idea that when we come back next January, we may have to increase some of those appropriations. So as we move down this road together in these uncertain times, there are always actions that we can take if the economy doesn't improve. Just as in a family, you can make cuts, you can look for ways to increase revenue, and we have to be aware of what hard decisions we might be willing to make collectively in the future. I don't like this budget. Naturally, I'm rather partial to higher education since I come from the community of the University of Idaho. I haven't liked many of the budgets, but I think working within the reality that we're dealing with, it's one that we need to support. And I do ask for your yes vote on this.
Debate is closed. Question is, shall Senate Bill 1207 pass? The clerk will unlock the machine and the members will record their votes. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will lock the machine and record the roll. Roll call shows 51 aye, 15 nay, 4 absent and excused, a majority having voted in the affirmative. Senate Bill 1207 has passed the House. Is there correction of title? Hearing none, the title is approved and the bill will be returned to the Senate.